Hi, welcome back to another episode of the Crime Hour. Today's case is well known. It has a series on Hulu called The Act and a documentary on HBO called Mommy Dead and Dearest. Today we are talking about Dee Dee and Gypsy Rose Blanchard. So let's start off with Dee Dee. Her real name is Claudine, but she preferred to be called Dee Dee. Her family would say growing up she was very weird, she was a very troubled child, getting herself into little things like stealing, petty theft, lying, and very manipulative. So she was kind of like that child that her parents had a hard time with. In her early years, she worked as a nurse's aide, and when her mother was ill, she took care of her. Later, it became very suspicious to the family that Dee Dee was responsible for their mother's death. Although it was all that family believed and it was just suspicion, there was never any proof. They think that Dee Dee was poisoning her own mother and denying her of food, which led to her dying. Which is really sad. Imagine your family thinks that you killed your own mother. Like, could you imagine? It's terrible. When Dee Dee was 24, she became pregnant by her boyfriend, Rod, who was just 17. The two decided to get married because they thought at the time it was the right thing to do. Okay, first off, who married them off? Because although it never mentioned the year, if she was 24 and he was 17, he's still illegal. Who married them off? Hello? Whether you're in the States, in Canada, wherever, that's not even like, he's not even an adult. Wouldn't he need somebody to be like, oh yeah, that's okay? In 1991, the couple ended up having a daughter who they named Gypsy Rose Blanchard, taking Dee Dee's last name, as the couple were going through a divorce at this point. So, Dee Dee and Gypsy end up moving in with Dee Dee's father and stepmom. Let me tell you why it probably didn't work out. One, because he was not an adult. Okay? Now, I'm not saying because age difference that, you know, things don't work out. But that's probably one of the main factors. Kind of like, he's probably like, listen, I'm not even an adult yet. You know, like, at 17, what, you're just finishing your last year of high school, probably, you know? And he's probably like, what did I get myself into? Honestly, for me, I would say go with somebody who is, one, an adult, two, somebody you can actually bond with, like, you see yourself in the future with, not just like, oh yeah, he's 17, but he got me pregnant, so we're gonna get married. Like, no. You don't have to be married to be raising a child. By the time Gypsy was 3 months old, Dee Dee believed that Gypsy had sleep apnea and began taking her to the hospital, which they would stay overnight for, and get the sleep monitor. And this became a very frequent thing. And doctors later tell Dee Dee that there was nothing wrong with Gypsy. But Dee Dee stood by the fact that there was something that didn't feel right to her. You know, she had that gut feeling that people have that things aren't right. That's what she was feeling. Which, I mean, like, can't argue with that, right? Because, like, she's a mother, and, like, if she feels like something's wrong, then usually, as parents, they would fight for it, right? When Gypsy was about 7 or 8, she was riding with her grandfather in his motorcycle and they got into an accident. She suffered abrasions to her knee, which led to Dee Dee saying that she required several surgeries to treat. And she also claimed that there was a physical damage that she could clearly see, and that would leave Gypsy in a wheelchair. I have so many questions. So many questions. Number one, why is your 7-year-old on a motorcycle with you if, you know, like, it's your grandchild? But even still, Another thing is, how do you physically see that there's something wrong with her if, like, nobody else can see it? You know, like, okay, yeah, she hurt her knee, but, like, every kid falls off their bike or whatever, right? And, yeah, this was a motorcycle, which is worse. But I mean, she's 7. I don't think it would have been that bad that she needs several surgeries. And then how is it that after all these surgeries, they didn't fix this problem and now she's in a wheelchair? So many questions. I just don't understand. And how do you physically see severe damaging? Usually you would need like, you know, like what is it, like a CT scan? Where, like, they can see everything, right? Like, they x-ray your whole body and they see, like, you know, if you have internal bleeding, etc. Like, how do you see that from just physically looking at her? I'm not a doctor or anything. I'm just saying that's just what I presume. Like, I don't think a regular person can look at you and be like, by the way, I can see you're gonna be ending up in a wheelchair because you have severe damage. From that cut you have on your knee or something. I don't think a regular person would be able to do this. But what do I know? I'm not a doctor. Or a nurse's aide. Dee Dee starts to tell people that Gypsy couldn't walk, and by grade 2, Gypsy had to be taken out of school, and Dee Dee would homeschool her due to Gypsy's medical conditions. At this point, Dee Dee told everyone that Gypsy had leukemia, asthma, and she had a mental age of a 7-year-old, and she would sleep with a sleeping mask connected to an oxygen tank and had a feeding tube. Damn. She got all this after one incident on her knee? My goodness. That's crazy. But yeah, so I think that's really odd, like, to take your kid out of school because they're in a wheelchair. Like, schools do make, like, ramps and stuff, and, like, obviously, like, to accommodate people with special needs, right? Like, you wouldn't have to take your child out for that, but I guess mothers know best. Also, that's a lot for a kid to get taken. Oxygen tank, and a feeding tube, and a sleeping mask. And she has asthma and leukemia. I feel like at that point, your kid would be living in the hospital, no? No offense. Again, I'm not a doctor, but if I were to hear all that, I'd be like, okay, so she's not safe. I'll just keep her here. Now, because they live with Dee Dee's father and her stepmom, Dee Dee would often be the one cooking meals. And the meals that she provided for her stepmom would make her feel really sick. The days that Dee Dee was not around, her stepmom would feel perfectly fine. This makes the family have like a stronger suspicion on the fact that Dee Dee must have killed her mother, and now she's trying to do the same thing with her stepmom. Because, I mean, how is it that she's only sick when Dee Dee's around, right? When the family confronted her about Dee Dee poisoning her stepmom with Roundup weed killer, Dee Dee takes Gypsy and they move out. Once they were out, her stepmom's health went back to normal. That's a red flag right there. At that point, I would have called, like, social services or something and went, like, listen, she can't take Gypsy. She's freaking crazy. She tried to poison her stepmom, and I'm pretty sure she killed her own mother. Like, at that point, that's a no-no. Dee Dee and Gypsy move out to Slidell, Louisiana. Wow, I have a hard time pronouncing things. They lived in public housing, paid their bills with public assistance, which Dee Dee was granted due to Gypsy's medical conditions. Rod, Dee Dee's ex-husband, also paid child support, which was about $1,200 a month. Damn! $1,200 a month for one child? My goodness. Dee Dee and Gypsy spent a lot of time seeing various specialists in children's hospitals in New Orleans and seeking treatment for all the illnesses Dee Dee claimed Gypsy had. Which, at this point, Gypsy had hearing and vision problems and had MS, which is short for multiple sclerosis. Sorry, I had to pause to actually be able to pronounce it. Also suffered from multiple seizures a month. So they got her on medication for her seizures, got treatment for MS, which is bullshit, by the way, because there's no treatment. There is no cure for MS, okay? Just letting you people know, there is no cure for MS. And got her hearing aids to help with her hearing and got her glasses. Now, these glasses, oh my goodness. I'm guessing Dee Dee picked them out and Gypsy had no say, but man, these glasses were like the glasses that old ladies wear, you know, grandmas. You know, have if you guys have ever watched Mrs. Doubtfire, which I'm pretty sure most of you have because it was an amazing movie. Yeah, remember Mrs. Doubtfire and her glasses? Imagine that, but on like a 7-year-old or whatever. However old Gypsy is at this point. Throughout the years, Gypsy would go through multiple surgeries for all these illnesses that she had. Dee Dee also had a habit of bringing her to the emergency room almost daily over the littlest things, like eating candy. Imagine, oh my God, she ate a candy. I need to take her to the emergency room. I could just imagine the dot, like the bills rolling in. You know what I mean? Like, you live in the States. You don't have free health care. How are you paying all these bills? Like, I know you have like public assistance and like child support money, but even still, you still have to pay your house, don't you? And bills, I don't know. In 2005, Hurricane Katrina hit and they lost everything. All the medical records, even Gypsy's birth certificate and their house, everything was just destroyed. So they had to stay in a shelter that took in people who needed special care. There, a doctor suggested that they relocate to Missouri because that's where they had specialists that were great for Gypsy. So they end up moving to Missouri, and in 2008, Habitat for Humanity built them a small home. This home included a ramp for Gypsy, a hot tub, and everything they wanted slash needed. First off, they say a small home, but this home has a hot tub. Like, my goodness, how small is a small home? And like, this kid is suffering from leukemia. She has a feeding tube, she has an oxygen tank, and she has MS. Is she even allowed to even be in the hot tub for you to give them a hot tub? Unless it's, I mean, like, I'm sure, you know, the mom uses it, but like, you know what I mean? Like, are you not doing this mainly for Gypsy because she's the one who's suffering? I don't know. This ends up catching the media's attention as they see it as a single mom who's caring for a handicapped child who lost everything in Hurricane Katrina. This brought in more charities, interviews like being on Dr. Phil, and free flights to different doctors around the states and other places. They got a free trip to Disney World and even backstage passes to see Miranda Lambert in concert. Miranda herself even donated money to the family. So, Dee Dee has got everybody doing this for them. Which is really nice. You know, like, it's nice to help people in need, and like, especially when you hear stories like this, right? Like, poor Gypsy, she's in a wheelchair, and you know, she can't do much because she has all these illnesses. And Dee Dee can't go to work because she is a single mom and she stays at home to take care of Gypsy. You know, and it's just like, you know, one thing leads to another, and then obviously catches media's attention. Which is like I said, it's really nice that people want to help and stuff. Like, they built them a house, you know. So Rod tries to be a part of Gypsy's life. He would call her, try to talk to her, send her gifts, and but Dee Dee was very controlling and didn't want Rod and Gypsy to have a relationship. She would tell Gypsy lies and try to convince her that Rod was a bad person. So she would tell her, like, oh, your father was a drug addict, or he was an alcoholic and he's very abusive. I don't want you talking to him. I don't want you, like, seeing him. On Gypsy's 18th birthday, Rod caused to wish her a happy birthday, like most parents would. But Dee Dee tells him not to tell her that she was 18 and let her believe that she was 14. What? Okay, so this is where it gets a little confusing. So, honestly, you go, Rod. Good for you for being, you know, you were 17 when this happened, when you had this child. Good for you for stepping up and still paying child support and still trying to be a part of your child's life. Props to you. You know, you're trying. You want to make that, you're trying to talk to her, you're sending her gifts, you're wishing her happy birthday. It's a lot, because not everyone has that, you know, not everyone gets that type of treatment when parents are divorced, you know what I mean? So, good for you. But this is where another red flags fly up. It's like, why are we telling her that she's 14 when she's 18, you know? It gets Rod really, like, suspicious, because he's like, what do you mean? Why can't we tell her, right? Like, why is she pretending to be 14, you know? And then Dee Dee tells him, well, you know, her mentality's not there, right? Like, because of all her illnesses, she's like, she acts like a 7-year-old, right? So let's just let her believe that she's only 14 and not 18. And of course, because Rod's not there, he's like, okay, I just want, like, the best for her, you know? Like, I just want her to be safe. I want her to get those treatments that she needs. And, you know, just make sure that you're doing everything you can, because I can't physically be there. Now, Gypsy was really sweet, so anyone who met her would fall in love with her, right? Like, instantly. She was like that toddler that everybody's like, oh my god, she's so cute! You know? She was a small girl, about 5 foot, like 5'1" and stuff like that, and had these large glasses, right? Again, like Mrs. Doubtfire. She had a high childlike voice, you know? Like, she never hit puberty, kind of. And so what happens is Dee Dee would shave Gypsy's head to make her look like she went through chemo due to her leukemia. Whenever they left the house, Dee Dee would make sure to bring the oxygen tank and a feeding tube. Huh. So now we have come to the part where everything is a lie. Woohoo! Why hasn't anybody said anything, right? This is why Rod was suspicious. And why her father and the stepmom or anybody else in the family never called anyone to warn them about Dee Dee, I don't know. I really don't know. If you have all these suspicions about her killing her mother, trying to kill her stepmother, and now she's living with her daughter, who she's now making up all these issues. I don't know. I just don't know. In interviews, Dee Dee would stand very close to Gypsy and hold her hand. And then Gypsy would put on the act saying, oh, she's such an amazing mother. I love her so much. She takes the time to, like, really take care of me. And, you know, like, I'm so grateful to have somebody like her. You know, she's putting on this act. So whenever they get home and Gypsy tells her mom, like, hey, I'm not actually sick. I feel great, right? Dee Dee would actually end up, like, hurting her, like, physically, like, either hitting her or, like, if she tries to, like, whisper that when they're on, like, an interview or, like, talking to people outside in public, her mom, like, because her mom would hold her hand, her mom would squeeze it really, really tight to kind of, like, tell her, okay, shut the fuck up, just play along, you know? We're trying to get this money. So, later on, they go see a new neurologist who becomes suspicious of how They even diagnosed MS. So he orders MRIs, blood tests, and saw no issues, right? Like everything was normal. He also asked why Gypsy couldn't walk. She had muscles in her legs that clearly stated that she could walk. And then he asked for some medical records, but Dee Dee tells him that, oh, they were all destroyed during Hurricane Katrina, and I don't have anything, like not even a birth certificate to give you. So she goes, I can give you the names of the doctors that we were seeing before we moved here and stuff like that, right? So she's giving him all this information of all these different doctors, right? I don't know how you remember them all at the top of your head at this point, but sure, go ahead. So this doctor ends up calling all these other doctors and asking for records, right? And it was proven that MS wasn't one of the diagnoses that Gypsy had. And all of her blood work and tests showed that there was absolutely nothing wrong with Gypsy. So this upsets Dee Dee because she's like, you don't know how to do your job. I know there's something wrong with my child. Da 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 da. So they leave and they never come back to this doctor, right? They decide, okay, I'm not going to see him. He doesn't know what he's doing. The doctor then writes in his records that Gypsy doesn't have any type of illness and that he could see from the test and all the blood work that he believes that Dee Dee has Munchausen by proxy syndrome. So, Munchausen by proxy is when a caregiver makes up or causes illness or injuries to the person that they're caring for, and it's a form of abuse. Either it's mainly known in children, like Gypsy, or elderly abuse, because, like, you know, nursing homes and stuff like that. And that's how, like, they're able to be like, oh no, like, and you know, parents are always like, they have that gut feeling, right? So they go to the doctor and they're like, no, there's something wrong with my child. And the doctor tries to do something for them because, you know, they're like persistent with it, right? And that's what Munchausen is. Later, this same doctor brings up the situation to his colleagues. He's like, hey, listen, I think there's nothing wrong with Gypsy, and I think the mom's suffering from this Munchausen by proxy syndrome. And his coworkers like tell him, oh, please just drop it. You know, like there's no way this family would be doing that. They're well respected. You know, like people have like charities and everything for them. Like she's a single mom raising a kid who's handicapped, right? Like they're so loved, and like, you know, they're just she's the daughter's mentally ill and stuff like that, right? Like there's no way. And they've been to so many doctors for so many years, somebody would have said something, right? So they told him to drop it because the thing is with Munchausen, it's very hard to like diagnose, you know what I mean? Like, 'cause it's not a physical like illness, right? Like you can't look at somebody and be like, oh, they have Munchausen's, you know? So like they're like telling him to drop it. It's just too much to look into to like assume like, oh yeah, no, she's physically hurting her own child so that they can get like medications and stuff like that. So yeah. An anonymous person makes a call to the police stating that they believe Dee Dee is mistreating Gypsy, that they use different names and birth dates. I believe this was the same doctor who had that suspicion. The police who went to do the wellness check, so remember a wellness check is when the police just check up, go to your house and check up on you because they hear like, could be complaints or they could be like, hey, listen, like a neighbor would be like, oh, I haven't seen this person in so many days. I'm just worried. And the police will just come and check up on you. So you're not in trouble or anything. They just do like a check, right? They just want to make sure you're okay. So this police who goes to do the wellness check accepted the explanation that Dee Dee tells them when he brought up the whole like different name, and birth dates, etc. So she tells him, oh, the reason why I use different information is because I have an abusive ex, and I don't want him to find me. That's why, or my daughter. So that's why we're using like different names. And the police thought nothing of it, and they're like, okay, have a good day, bye. I just want to say something. How come every, and I mean every crime that I, every crime, the police don't actually dig into it. They just kind of take the person's word. You know what I mean? Like, how? Like, my last documentary, or not documentary, I should say, podcast of Jeffrey Dahmer, the one with Junko, which was a really hard case. To this day, I cannot. You know what I mean? Like, why? Why is it so hard for them to look into it some more? I just don't understand. But during this wellness check, police noticed that Gypsy was very drowsy and to the point where she was drooling, and Dee Dee tells her, like, tells them, oh yeah, I just gave her medication for whatever the heck she has, right? That's why she's like that, because she just ate and now she had to take her medication before she goes to bed or whatever. And again, they just let it be. They're like, oh yeah, we can see that she's very ill, she's in her wheelchair, she's just kind of sitting there and she's like drooling because like all the medication. In 2010, Gypsy was using the computer when her mom was sleeping. Now, Dee Dee uses sleeping pills to help her sleep. So she slept quite heavily. So while she was sleeping, Gypsy, he was on the computer and she found some dating sites, right? And as she's looking around and like, going through them, she comes across a Christian dating site where she meets Nicholas. And she decides, oh, look, I can talk to these people and stuff like that and get to know them. So, supposedly, because we don't know how old Gypsy actually is, because her mom wants her to believe she's 14, but she was 18, and now time has gone. Let's say time has gone by, right? Supposedly, Nicholas was around her age. Again, we don't even know what age she's going by. Nick has a criminal record for indecent exposure, a history of mental illness, and his family claimed that he was autistic. Huh, okay. But this doesn't stop Gypsy, She's like, okay, whatever, I'm still gonna talk to him, right? So the next day, Gypsy decides to go talk to the neighbors because next door to them was a mother and a daughter, and the daughter was 24 years old. And Gypsy looked up to her as if like she was like an older sister. So she confided in her, saying, listen, I met this guy online last night. He seemed really nice. We made a fake, like I made an account to talk to him and stuff like that, I also made myself like a secret Facebook account to talk to him. Because I can't use the regular Facebook account because I share it with my mom. Because Dee Dee was so controlling that they shared a Facebook, right? So that Dee Dee would be able to see everything that Gypsy was doing. So this neighbor warns Gypsy and tells her, you have to be careful with who you meet online because you never know who's actually behind the screen that you're talking to, right? Whatever you do, like, please be careful. Don't be telling him any of your information, stuff like that. Just, make things up if you have to, right? Like, until you really get to know him, because you don't know who he is, right? And it's not like she can just leave and be like, oh, I'm gonna go meet up with him, because her mom did everything with her. So on this secret Facebook account, Dee Dee would. I mean, not Dee Dee. Gypsy would talk to Nick, right? And Nick would tell her, oh, I'm into BDSM. And I have multiple personalities with it, right? Where he would role play. And he's like, oh, I'm a young child. I'm a werewolf. And I'm a bad boy, right? And so Gypsy would go along with it. And she would put on wigs and wear costumes and take pictures and stuff like that and send it to him, you know? Which I think is okay. Nothing again, BDSM. If you're into that, you're into that. Go ahead, do your thing. But I think it's very disturbing because it's like you don't know this person and you're sending him these type of photos and you're going along with the role play. You know what I mean? Like you never met this person and you know, you're just kind of doing that. And it's like, why do you have that on hand, right? I thought you're playing the sick child, right? Like, well, how do you have all this stuff on hand to do role play? But anyways, I don't know. So Gypsy decides that one day she wants to meet Nick in person, so they come up with a plan to do so. The plan was that Gypsy would send Nick money to come and see her at the theater, where she would go and watch the new live-action Cinderella movie with her mom. And she would pretend not to know him and just kind of like go up to him and be like, oh, like, you know, oh, I like your shirt, you know, and strike up a conversation and be like, hey, you want to come sit with us, you know? So the plan goes down the way it did, and the whole time Dee Dee was like, I don't like this idea, like, we don't even know who he is, right? Like, Gypsy, you know, like, I don't want you getting close to this person, we don't know who he is, and you know, why is a grown man coming to watch a Disney movie by himself, right? Really odd, right? But later during the movie, Gypsy and Nick end up sneaking away to go to the bathroom and they have sex in the stall. Again, that is very, very no. You just met him in person the first time and you're having sex. And I don't even know how she got away from Dee Dee at the theater. Like, is she not in her wheelchair with her oxygen tank, whatever the heck, you know, like, how was she able to go to the bathroom without her mom being like, oh yeah, I'm gonna come with you? Who knows? Maybe the mom stayed to save their seats. I don't know. Even still, that's very odd. Especially in the movie theater. After that, they continue to talk online and text. Eventually, Gypsy tells Nick the truth, how she isn't actually sick and that Dee Dee was holding her hostage and she couldn't escape. Nick then tells Gypsy he would be her Prince Charming, and by doing that, he would help her by killing Dee Dee. So one night, Dee Dee and Gypsy got into an argument, and Gypsy texts Nick and tells him, okay, I want to do it. I want you to come and kill my mom. So they come up with a plan on how to do that. So Nick comes to the house, and Gypsy tells him she left duct tape, gloves, and a knife for him, and to be very quiet because the front door is very sneaky. Or squeaky. Squeaky. Oh my god, I can't speak today. Anyways, Nick tells Gypsy to hide in the bathroom and cover her ears so she wouldn't have to hear or witness what's happening. So after, Nick goes into Dee Dee's bedroom where she's sleeping. Dee Dee wakes up, yells for Gypsy, and that's when Nick decides to stab her 17 times. Once he knew that Dee Dee was dead, he went to the bathroom, got Gypsy, and they went back to Gypsy's bedroom and they had sex. That's very, ugh. Like, how do you do that? Especially after you killed somebody's mother. Like, how do you do that in general if you did something like that? If you murdered somebody? I don't understand. How are you in the mood? Ugh. Then, after they finished their business, they took $4,000 that Dee Dee had saved, like somewhere in the house, and they packed a big luggage and they head to a motel where they plan to leave town. They mailed the murder weapon back to Nick's house in Wisconsin, and then the two of them took a Greyhound bus to head back to Nick's house. So they go on this wild thing. I don't know how. So they took money, went to a motel just to plan this all out to leave. Anyways, so then Nick tells his family, oh, Gypsy's homeless, and she was abused, so she's gonna come stay with us. And his parents never questioned it. weird. On June 14th, Gypsy told Nick to post on Dee Dee and Gypsy's Facebook two updates so that somebody would find the body, because she was at this point she was feeling really guilty, and there was nothing on the news about a dead body being found and stuff like that. So she wanted somebody to find her mom, right? Like, even though her mom didn't treat her right, it's still her mom. So Nick posts, "That bitch is dead." At that point, Dee Dee's friends reply saying, "What are you talking about? What movie are you guys even watching?" And Nick replies in the comments saying, "I fucking slashed the fat pig and raped her sweet innocent daughter. Her screams were so fucking loud. LOL. First off, I'm pretty sure when somebody says to you, "Oh, can you please update the status or whatever, or post something," pretty sure a normal thing to post would not be that. And second off, what a sick motherfucker. What the fuck? I cannot. So at this point, people start to worry, so the neighbor and her daughter go over to check. And they're knocking on the door, right? They're like, and no one comes. So they try looking through the windows, but Dee Dee put this, like, plastic film over the window so nobody could look in, because she was so protective of Gypsy, right? And then finally they found an open window, and before going into the house, because, you know, they don't want to tamper with any evidence and stuff like that, they call the police. So the police come, and once inside, the police and neighbors notice that the house looks perfectly fine, like, as if nothing was touched. It wasn't disturbed or anything, right? So there was, like, no signs of a break-in, nothing. But what they do notice is all of Gypsy's belongings, right? Like her wheelchair, her oxygen tank, you know, and all her medication. It's still in the house. So they thought, oh my god, somebody must have taken Gypsy. So while investigating, police then go through the bedrooms and they find Dee Dee on the ground dead in her bedroom. So, at this point, they're like, oh my god, right? There's a dead body, you know, the mother's dead, and where is the handicapped child, right? Somebody must have kidnapped her. But then, like, so everybody's panicking, the community's panicking, you know, thinking, oh my god, Gypsy's in so much trouble, she doesn't have her medication, she's not gonna survive, right? So the neighbor's daughter, remember, she, how Gypsy, like, told her everything? She pulls the police officer aside and tells him about the the secret Facebook account and the shared account, and about Nick. So the police look into the Facebook post and was able to track the IP address back to Nick's house. The police show up, and there, Nick and Gypsy surrender to the police and admit to everything. So the police end up bringing Gypsy back home, and there everybody had a big welcoming sign saying, oh my god, Gypsy's home, we're so glad you're safe, you're not, you know, like, the police found her, she's not hurt or anything. But then later the police do a press conference where they inform the community to stop donating to the GoFundMe Foundation and stuff for Gypsy, and how she was actually never sick. That Gypsy could walk, she could talk, and do everything normally. So this shocks everybody, right? And they're like, what the fuck, right? We donated, like, we donated money. We devoted our time. These people help you build a house, right? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you, you know? Then the police take her and Nick back to the station. They get questioned. During Nick's questioning, he tells them everything and how Gypsy was the one who wanted her mother dead and that he only did it to help her. Honestly, that doesn't really help his case, because then he still admitted that he's the one who killed her. But anyways, in Gypsy's interview, when they came to question her and stuff like that, she started crying, and he's like, and the police are like, you know, your mom's dead, and she's crying some more, right? And she's pretending she doesn't know. But then they're like, stop. Nick told us everything. You can stop now. We know what you did, right? Like, we know your part in this. So then Gypsy tells them what actually happened, how her mom was very controlling, and behind closed doors, she would actually strike her with a coat hanger, and how she made all these different, like, she would make her take all these different medications that her mom would get a hold of. Because remember, in the beginning when her mom was a nurse's aide, yeah, so her mom was able to get, she stole one of the doctor pads, you know, that they write prescriptions on, that has their signature and like it tells them where they work, so that it's legit, right? So turns out her mom stole them so that she could write her own prescriptions for Gypsy. So she's telling the police all of this, right? And how, like, because her mom made her take all these different medications, and obviously, like, if you take one thing and it counteracts with the other, you know, you're gonna get the side effect, right? So her side effect was her teeth started to rot, and eventually she had them all taken out. Which is really sad, because imagine, like, you don't even know how old you are, and you don't have teeth. And you're playing this part of being a sick person because your mom is making you feel sick, causing you to go to the doctors, causing you to go to the hospital. And then you're playing the kid who has leukemia, who has asthma, who has MS, etc. So, you know, the media's freaking out, right? Because they're like, oh my god, you know, this was the girl who was handicapped. She was in a wheelchair, and her single mother was taking care of her. Now her mother's dead. You know, like, and they're like, oh, you know, it went from her being just a sick kid to being a murderer, to now being a person who was dealing with child abuse, right? She was suffering from it. So they weren't sure which, you know, which to take on, right? So later on during the trials, Gypsy and Nick both end up going to prison with a $1 million bond. During Gypsy's trial in 2015, she was about 22, 23 years old at this point, apparently. Her attorney got a hold of the medical records, showed them to the judge and everything, and got her a plea bargain of second-degree murder. Gypsy decides to take the plea, and she got sentenced 10 years. And she's up for parole in 2024, where she would be 32 years old. Nick's lawyer, on the other hand, said that he's autistic and he is in the right state of mind, and that Gypsy was the one who told him to do it. And, you know, like, suggested that he would go through with it, and because he's not in the right state of mind, he went along with it. The jurors, were given three murder sentences to go by: involuntary manslaughter, first-degree murder, or second-degree murder. It took the jury about 2 hours to come up with a verdict for Nick. They found Nick guilty of first-degree murder and armed criminal action. In February 2019, he was sentenced to life in prison. So throughout all of Gypsy's testings, and even in jail, the only thing that doctors found wrong with her physically was that she had vision problems. She needed glasses, which she already had. And that was it. And everything else was just her mom and the Munchausen by proxy, and it was her mom's way of making or getting money from, you know, from, I guess, like, the pres- not the pres- like, healthcare, right? Like, the public assistance, you know, like, and it was her mom's way of scamming people, you know, like, oh, my daughter's sick, we have a GoFundMe, I'm a single mom, da 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 da. And that's how she got her free house, her, you know, like, her hot tub, and people donating all this money to her, and she was able to go see concerts and go to Disney World, you know? So yeah, that was the story of Dee Dee and Gypsy Rose Blanchard. What do you guys think? Do you think Gypsy should have gotten a lesser sentence, or do you think she was even guilty, or was it all because of her mom, and it was Munchausen by proxy syndrome? Honestly, to me, I feel like I'm kind of torn between guilty and not guilty, 'cause like she is guilty. Okay, she is, 'cause it's premeditated, right? Like she planned it out with Nick. But at the same time, it was her only escape, right? 'Cause honestly, I feel like if she did not kill her mother would have killed her. I mean, her mother killed her own mother and her tried to kill the stepmother, and though it was only assumptions and suspicions, it's basically true. Because, I mean, when the family confronted her, she just moved out, right? Like, that kind of says, okay, she's hiding something. And they even found what she was trying to kill her stepmom with. So, and if she has all these, like, if she was able to get the doctor pads to, like, write prescriptions, I'm pretty sure she would have been at that point where she would have killed her own daughter. Also, in prison, Gypsy actually said in an interview that she feels more free in prison than she ever did living with her mom, which is really sad. And her father, Rod, feels like a complete idiot for not notice like for not taking that suspicion of that 14-year-old, 18-year-old birthday thing into action. Like he feels really bad and he wished that he did something more. But yeah, so I hope you enjoyed this case. It is very well known. I haven't watched any of the documentary or like the show on Hulu, only 'cause I'm in Canada. We don't have Hulu here. But yeah, let me know what you think. See you next week. Bye.